All right, thank you so much for listening to this edition of Holding Fast the Faithful Word. This podcast is sponsored by Bible Way Baptist Church right here in the small town of Auburn, at least for those of you that live in the area. I know that a number of folks from out of state and even some out of the country listen to the different podcasts that I upload. Anyway, this has been an ongoing series, or at least for the last 3 weeks anyway, A Man as Priest in His Home, and this is based on a book by Samuel Waldron, and I thought this would be a really appropriate study for the men as they seek to develop their role, I guess, for lack of a better word, in the home as husbands, as fathers, as teachers, as leaders in the home. One of the things that we want to see is strong families. And if we're not encouraging personal growth for the men who are called of God to lead their families, then there are going to be issues within the family unit. And if the families break apart, then it won't be long before churches break apart. And then when churches break apart, then society breaks apart. And so it really has to start with what is going on in the home. What is going on with the family? How is the husband fulfilling his role, you know, as a godly man, a man as a priest in his home? How is he fulfilling that role? And is he fulfilling that role? And there are a lot of responsibilities that go along with it that aren't always taken into consideration. Some are just dismissed, ignored. Some might be manipulated a little bit to kind of fit in with the family philosophy. But ultimately, we should be asking ourselves, is this the will of God? Does this honor Christ? Will this bring honor and glory to His holy name? And so we are on lesson 4, or chapter 4, if you're following along in the book. And the title of this lesson is A Man as Intercessor in Prayer. So we're talking about the intercessory aspect, or intercession. What is the role of a man, a husband, a father, as an interceder on behalf of his family? So the first three chapters focus on the idea that a man should, using the Old Testament priestly examples, be or act as a priest in his home. The role of an interceder or intercessor has many facets. There is more to the priesthood of a father than just prayer. A godly man leads his home by way of example, and this is critical. I can't stress this enough. A godly man, a man as a priest in his home, leads his home by way of example. And so we have a lot to shoulder as men in our homes, as husbands and fathers. How does he lead? He leads through instruction. Instruction. In other words, what is the basis of our instruction? The Word of God. Sitting down, having a family altar, if you will, a time around the Word, a time of instruction to catechize our family, to catechize our children. There are plenty of catechisms out there that can be used in the context of a home, Baptist catechisms. There are others as well, but we're Baptist, so Baptist catechism would be appropriate. Teach the Word of God, teach sound doctrine, teach the practical side of the Christian life. Those are very important as well. Again, leading by example, this is key. It's not a do as I say and not as I do type thing. Too many parents do that, you know, do as I say, not as I do. Of course, that's hypocrisy. So we don't want to be hypocrites in front of our families. So we want to do a study, if you will, in the home, some religious instruction for our family. We want to discipline as well. I'm not talking about, you know, spare not the rod type of a thing, but we need to have certain disciplines in place. In other words, we're going to church on Sunday morning. We're going to be in church for Sunday school and morning worship, and we're going to be there in the evening. So there's a discipline, a disciplined prayer life, a disciplined study life, personal devotions, Bible time, Bible reading, not just in, you know, the setting of a instruction or teaching or altar, family altar, but also personal. All of the family, if they're able to read the Bible. I understand little ones probably not able to read yet, but as soon as they're able to read, they should be encouraged to start reading the Word of God on their own. Guidance, to seek wisdom from God, to seek discernment and then to guide the family in the ways of holiness and purity and doctrine, and then even through sacrifice. And that's less of self and more of others, and thinking about it in the context of putting your family even above yourself. And so you want to make sure that you're leading by example in these areas of instruction and discipline and guidance and sacrifice. You want to make sure that you're leading spiritually. You want to make sure that you're conducting yourself in a way that is pleasing to your Heavenly Father so as to lead the family to do the same. So our lesson for this evening will cover some of these roles. So we see first, intercession. What does intercession mean? To intercede means we are to petition God on behalf of others, specifically for the needs of our families and households in general. And so that is one of the things we want to keep in mind. Our prayer life must include prayers of intercession for our family. I think that's expected of us, and certainly you would encourage your family to do the same for one another and for others. We see the biblical example. We covered some of this last week with Job. Job 1, verse number 5, he prayed for his children. Job prayed for his children. He did not let up in this discipline. He prayed for his children every single day. He persisted in this. He was consistent in this, and he stayed on point. He even prayed for his friends in Job 42, verse number 8. So we see Job's intercession in his prayer life. We see that with the Israelite priests, Ezra 6, verses 9 through 10. Then we see in the New Testament, we see Christ as our interceder. If there are no other examples, Christ alone should be enough, especially to those who may have questions. We can look at Romans 8, 34, he ever liveth to make intercession for us, or rather Hebrews 7, 25. So we want to keep that in mind, that Christ is our ultimate example in that regard, and follow his example for intercession. But what does this mean? What does it mean for a man as a priest in his home to intercede for his family and household? Number one, a priest intercedes sacrificially. We understand this to mean that while we don't sacrifice animals, we do come before God on behalf of one who offered himself up as a perfect sacrifice. We intercede because of Christ's example and teaching. Number two, a priest intercedes specifically. This would include their spiritual needs, their temporal needs, salvation, and repentance, to pray for their repentance. And think about salvation. I think sometimes parents take for granted that because they go to church or because they have religious instruction at home, that their children are automatically going to be saved. They take it for granted. Here's one of the problems why a lot of young people are quote-unquote deconstructing today. It's because they were never properly constructed in the first place. I'll bet you many of those children that are deconstructing today probably never had a family altar. They didn't have sound biblical doctrinal teaching in their home. And even worse, they probably didn't have it in the church. And we wonder, we scratch our heads in awe at what is happening today with our young people leaving the ministry and just walking away completely, or getting involved in some liberal, modernist, apostate denomination and following it when they could have had a sound foundation as far as doctrine is concerned. So we want to make sure that we are praying specifically for their temporal needs, for their spiritual needs, for their salvation, and for their repentance. Keep that in mind. When we pray and we intercede, we're praying for family, we're praying for our friends, we're praying for the church folks, praying for your pastor, praying for his family, you're praying for those that are sitting across the aisle from you. You're continually praying. Pray for your friends, those that you know, maybe those that you work with, those neighbors that you have that you associate with on a regular basis, extended family, whoever it may be, pray for them. And you know what their needs are. You're close to them. You have knowledge of them that other people don't have. Maybe you know of some temporal needs that they have. Certainly pray for those temporal needs. But above all, if they don't have Christ as their Savior, well, then pray for their salvation. Pray that God will grant them repentance. Pray for your church. Pray for your church. It is a sad state of affairs today. We're seeing and hearing of many churches that are closing their doors. The attendance is pitifully low. People are no longer interested in going to church. Their God is YouTube and audio sermon or whatever. You know, they sit on their couch and, you know, get church from YouTube, which is, it's foolish, and it is not adequate enough. Those that are doing that are not serving in the ministry. They don't understand the needs of the ministry, and they certainly don't understand the impact that a full church on a Sunday has as far as the testimony is concerned. When a church is full, it says to the community where that church is, there's God is working there. God is doing something there. Those people have something. You know, God is present and he's blessing and prospering that church. And that gives hope to people. And that's what people need today. When a church is full, there's a lot of activity. And I'm not talking about potluck suppers. I'm talking about activity in terms of sharing the gospel and discipleship and missions. A lot of folks that go to church, you know, get a call to the mission field for one reason or another. Maybe they hear it from a missionary that comes in, or maybe they're doing their own research, or maybe there's a country they just feel burdened for, and they want to go, and they want to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. The third thing that we see here is a priest intercedes consistently. So we need to be consistent and persistent in our prayers for our family, for our wives, for our children, and we want, again, extended family as well. Well, Pastor, they're all saved, and so I don't need to pray for them. Absolutely, you should. Pray for them. Don't take anything for granted. Pray that God will put a hedge of protection around them. Pray that God will give them wisdom. Pray that God will call them to serve. Call them to be faithful. Call them to pray for their own families. Pray for their loved ones and so forth. So consistently. And as I noted, Job did this continually. He didn't stop. He didn't take a break. He didn't say, okay, we're done here. Everything's good right now, so I'm in good shape. I don't have to worry about this anymore, and I'll move on to the next thing. No, this was consistently part of his prayer life. Just read the first chapter of Job, verses 1 through 5, and you'll see that. Then we see Christ ever liveth to make intercession for us. Ever liveth to make. He never stops. He never takes a break. He doesn't go on vacation or go on a retreat or a sabbatical. He's there and he is making intercession on our behalf. Number three, we should pray with perseverance. And I think this would tie in with continually. Just persevere. Persevere in some of those specifics as you're dealing with people in general. And then we should pray and intercede earnestly, not just with fleeting thoughts, to be earnest in our prayers, to really be burdened for our family. And I am sure that as God gives you wisdom and knowledge of himself and of the state of man and of the consequences of dying in their sin, you know, lost man dying in their sin, and he reveals that to you and makes you more aware of that, I suspect that there'll be more earnestness in your prayer life for your family. And if you have little ones that can't even talk, pray for them. Stop praying now. Pray before they're born. To those of you that might have wives that are expecting, pray for your children before they're even born. And you know, consecrate those children to God. It's always remarkable to me. I've heard over the years, why don't we do baby dedications? And I know some Baptist churches do baby dedications. I'm not against them. Whatever, that's your prerogative. If you want to do that, you feel that takes the place of infant baptism or whatever, that's on you. But here's the thing. You bring that family up in front of the church. That's a covenant that that family is making before you, before the congregation, and above all else, a covenant that they're making before God, that they're going to raise that child in a godly home. So all these things that I'm talking about up to this point should be evident in a home where the parents have covenanted before the pastor, before the church, and before God, that they're going to raise that child in a godly home. And that includes going to church. There are no exceptions to that. You should be in church as much as your time and life circumstances allow. You should be in church. There are no excuses. Go to church and bring your children to church and your family, your wife, and so forth. Bring them to church. And if they don't want to go to church or they're slacking in that response, then pray earnestly. Intercede on their behalf that God will quicken their hearts to why they should be in church and why families should worship together. Now, the thought-provoking questions for our study here, I just have three actually on this. These are for meditation and application. The first one is, in what ways can you improve the way you intercede for your family? So what are some things that you could do to intercede for your family in a more robust way? Maybe increase your prayer time, maybe some specifics within your prayer. Maybe you could take initiative and have a Bible study at home around the Word of God, a time of prayer, maybe even do a hymn sing. Some folks like to sing from the hymn book, and that's fine too. But do something, intercede. Maybe there's a direction that somebody in the family is heading that is not good or Christ-like or godly or not in accordance to the will of God. And you want to intercede and kind of head that off at the pass. Maybe there's a propensity towards a particular sin that you want to deal with as a father, and you don't want any harm to come to the individual, and so you intercede in that regard. Number two, what are some specific ways you can pray and intercede in your home for your family? So what are some specific ways? So it kind of ties in a little bit with verse number one, just adding to it a little bit more and adding, you know, the ways that you can pray. You know, maybe three times a day, once a day in the morning or an evening around the supper table. What are some ways that you can pray and intercede in your home for your family? Then, thirdly, name some ways you can be more consistent in your role as an interceder. So look at those areas of your life that are the weakest. Are you reading your Bible every day? Is there a time of prayer? Are you in regular church attendance? Do you have a family devotion of sorts? And these are things to kind of think about. You know, maybe you don't have those, and maybe there are some aspects of your prayer life that could be a bit more robust, if you will, and you can add those things to that. So these are some things to consider as you assume your role as a priest in your home, as a leader in your home, to intercede in these very specific areas. And that's the lesson for today. Thank you for listening. Take care, and may the Lord bless the rest of your day. Thank you now.